tonight, as you'll have seen from the cards all over the seats. And over the next few months, we're going to be looking at God's Facebook and how he reveals himself through the Old Testament. And tonight, we're looking at his timeline, the history of the Old Testament, sometimes referred to as his story. And it really is an incredible story. As we saw in that video, it starts with an individual and then extends to a family and then a nation and then to the ends of the earth. And how in the Old Testament, rather than explicitly telling us, like in the letters of the New Testament, it shows us through stories God's character and his love and compassion and redemption. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Redemption, the act of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. And the Old Testament is a story full of redemption, whether that's physical redemption or spiritual redemption. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God brought them out through the Exodus. As we saw in the video, when they were slaves in Babylon, when they were exiled to Babylon, then God brought them back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Or the redemption of individuals like Rahab, who was saved when Jericho fell, or whole cities like Nineveh that were saved from destruction. All of these leading up to the greatest redemption story, the ultimate redemption story, in Jesus' death and resurrection. And sometimes, similar to what Ian was saying this morning to us, because it's such a central theme of Christianity, we can become accustomed and familiarize ourselves with the fact that we're redeemed and forgiven by God. And it can start to lose the beauty. The cross can start to lose its beauty and how significant it is about what God's done for us. So I really want to challenge us tonight to look afresh at God's love for us and his redemptive power, and really pray that God would open our eyes again to his love for us. So tonight we're going to look at the story of Jonah and Nineveh. Jonah was a prophet who lived in Israel, and that's where the story begins. And in Jonah chapter 1, we read, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." And in some translations it says, "But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction." And when you look at a map, it really is the opposite direction. This is a map of that time. There's Joppa, where Jonah started out from, then Nineveh, where God wanted him to go, and then all the way on the left is Tarshish, where he was trying to get to. So he really was trying to get about as far away as possible from where God wanted him to go as he could. And I'm sure you know the story. He sets sail from Joppa. God sends a storm that's threatening to destroy the boat. And Jonah realizes that it's his fault that this storm's come along. So he throws himself into the sea. And as he's sinking down beneath the waves, a big fish comes and swallows him up. God sends a big fish to swallow him. And then a few days later, further up the coast, near Tyre, it spits him out. And we rejoin the action there. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." So Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." The Ninevites believed God, and a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. "By decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. but let the people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let them call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. And so we've seen that Nineveh was a wicked city. At that time, it was the enemy of Israel. It was the center of the Assyrian Empire. And it was the center of worship of Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. And it was a very large place. We just read then it was 3 days' journey in breadth, and it's estimated to have held about 120,000 people. And yet, when the Ninevites hear Jonah's message and see the wrong that they're doing and repent and turn back to God, he still forgives them and redeems them, despite the fact that Jonah doesn't think they're deserving of it. In chapter 4 of Jonah, we read the story of Jonah being angry at God because he's shown compassion on the Ninevites. Jonah had already ruled them out. He had deemed them not worthy of God's grace. And sometimes we can be like that, whether it's towards ourselves or towards others. We try and judge who is and who isn't worthy of God's grace. Not her, not him, surely not them. Take ISIS, for example. Do we jump for joy at the thought that God still loves them? Or perhaps if I told you the news that recently 3 ISIS fighters have become Christians, how would you respond to that? In Ezekiel it says, "Do you think that I like to see wicked people die?" says the Sovereign Lord. "Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." God wants to redeem us and free us from this wicked, empty way of life so that we can live freely in a life serving him, an eternal life as one of his children. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. And again he says, "But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God gives everyone the chance to become part of his family. Whatever we've done, whatever we're doing, and whatever we will do, it doesn't matter whether we think we're worthy of God's grace, because it's God's choice, and he's chosen you. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wants to do, and it gave him great pleasure. But also in Jonah is a second redemption story, one which we can easily miss when we focus on the wicked and terrible Ninevites, but one which is probably more applicable to us. And that's the story of Jonah himself. This prophet, this man of God, who hears what God says and then goes in completely the opposite direction, who tried to get as far away as possible from where God wants him to be. And sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can turn our backs on God. But see how God responds to Jonah. In the middle of the raging storm, Jonah realizes what he's done and throws himself into the sea. And God could have left him there to drown, but he doesn't. He sends a fish to save him. And at the same time, the sailors on the boat see God's awesome power and vow to serve him. So one minute, Jonah's running away from God as fast as he possibly can, in the totally wrong direction, into the middle of a raging storm. And the next, he's safe and sound in the belly of a fish. And all the other sailors are praising God. God's just turned Jonah's rejection for his glory, and he's given Jonah a second chance. Jonah himself says, "I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me." And sometimes we really do need to hear that. Sometimes we think, I've gone too far. God won't take me back. And so we wait, rather than turning straight back to him. But the thing is, turning back to him is the sensible thing to do. No matter how long or far you've been running away from him for, don't hesitate. Turn straight back to him, because he's waiting there with open arms, ready to welcome you back for the first time or the 100th time. He will redeem you and take you back into his grace and mercy and love. And he will forgive you so that you can live again with him, for him. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And so we thought it would be good to spend a few minutes responding quietly to that in prayer. Maybe you're feeling too far from God for him to redeem you. Or perhaps you've been hesitant in turning back to him about something recently. Or maybe you just want him to show you how much he loves you again, and for him to break your heart for what breaks his. So whatever it is, let's just take a few minutes in quiet to bring it before God, and then I'll pray to finish.